Scripture lesson today is from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Jesus calms the storm. That could apply to last night, too. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. All right, so I guess it's all on me now. Morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. And once again, it's a humbling honor to be here and preach when Pastor Reed is not here. You know, I always like to start, really appreciate you. So, I always like to start with a story because it just, calms me down. And this one is actually about a storm at sea. There was a huge storm, not unlike the one in our story from the scriptures. And the ship was swamped, and there was no doubt that it was going to sink. And the captain realized this, and it was going to sink fast. He called out and he said, "Does anybody out here know how to pray?" And one man stepped up and he said, "Aye, Captain, I know how to pray." And the cap said, "Good, you pray while the rest of us put on life jackets. We're short one." I have another story for you. This one is 100% true. It happened this week. I was shocked, and some other people were. It's almost like a correction to last week's sermon. A couple times in the sermon, I mentioned I feel like the church cheerleader. Well, Tuesday at VBS, Pastor Reed had driven all the way from St. Louis, Missouri, and he pulls into his house about, I don't know, 6 maybe, and he comes over to VBS. The guy's exhausted. He's been on the road all day. He's exhausted. Well, at the end of the night, at about 7:40, 7:45, we'd have all the kids come in the sanctuary because it was, we knew there was a storm coming. I'm exhausted. I'm trying to, do the closing ceremonies. And the kids are all riled up, because we brought them in. They've been running around. They're sugared up. And I'm talking to them about what they learned at VBS. And all of a sudden, Pastor Reed comes running up behind me. And he goes, "Repeat after me!" And the kids just like, just stop, right? And he goes, "Boom!" And all the kids, "Boom!" He goes, "Boom, chicka pop!" And all the kids, "Boom, chicka pop!" He says, "Boom, chicka boom, boom!" And the boom, chicka boom! And all of a sudden, this man, this is Pastor Reed, right? Mellow Pastor Reed. This guy is running around. He's jumping up and down. "Boom, chicka pop! Boom, chicka pop!" Monster style. "Boom, chicka pop, me!" He's running back and forth in the stage. He's going all over the place, right? And I'm standing back there. I swear to God. I'm standing back there going, because, I work with this guy, right? How long has Reed been here? 3-4 years? I have never seen anything like this. So I'm shocked, and Kevin is standing right over there, right? Kevin Germain is standing right there, and I kind of walk around my mouth like this. And I walk up to Kevin, and I said, "Man, I thought I was the church cheerleader." And Kevin goes, "Ah, you're fired." True, right, Kevin? So in our scripture lesson today, Jesus and his disciples get into a boat to cross the other side of the water. Excuse me. Jesus was sleeping on a cushion. Storm comes up that's so bad that the disciples are afraid they're going to drown. They wake up Jesus and they say, "Why is he going to let him drown?" And he gets up and tells the storm to stop. It does. And he tells the disciples, "What's your problem? What's your problem?" So I want to add a few things to kind of put this all in perspective. It's for me. First, you know, why was Jesus asleep? He's Jesus, right? Well, remember, Jesus was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. That math works for Jesus. So since he's also 100% man, he gets hungry, he gets thirsty, and he gets tired. And he had just gotten through talking to a big crowd, and he was tired to cross the boat, and he wants to go to sleep. Second, the disciples were aware that Jesus was special. They've been with him for a while. So, you know, they know this is the man. Third, most of these disciples were fishermen. So it's not like they'd never been in a storm before, right? You know, if you've been years in a fisherman, you are bound to see a storm. But maybe this is the worst storm they've probably ever seen. This story is so important that it's in three of the Gospels. Besides Mark, it's also in Matthew 8, 23 through 27, and Luke 8, 22 through 25. So obviously, it's important. Not only is it important, this is not a parable. This is not a story Jesus told. This happened. And three of Jesus' biographers say it happened. So I believe 100% it happened. In the Luke version, the scripture starts with Jesus telling the disciples, let us go to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he slept. Squall came down on the lake so that the boat was swamped and they were in great danger. Gist of the story for all of this is Jesus telling them, hey, we're going to get to the other side. And they weren't strangers to storms. And the fact that Jesus told them they would get across the other side went completely out the window the minute that he wasn't awake and the storm came. They just forgot. They forgot everything. It went right out the window. Now, we all experience storms in our lives, don't we? I mean, everybody. I can't think of a single person in here that hasn't had a storm in your life or is going through one right now. Maybe they're not weather storms or out at sea. They're storms that come out of nowhere and they overwhelm us with their power. There are storms that we also actually can see ahead of us, and we go out of our way to avoid those storms in our lives. I would like to mention three types of storms or talk about three types of storms that God might bring into your life. If I start talking fast, it's probably too much coffee, too little sleep,
and
that 5-hour energy that I don't usually take. First, there's a storm of redirection. Sometimes you find yourself in a storm, you know, it's like a difficult situation in your life that moves you away from where you want to be, and you're forced, without wanting to go completely different path. When this happens, you know, sometimes we got to think that maybe this happened because God knew if we went down that path we were going to go, that it was not going to be ultimately what was the right thing. So he gives us a storm to make us go in a different direction. There's a storm to check your faith. Actually, I want to go back for a second to give an example of that last one. It's metaphoric, but it'd be the story of Jonah. You know, he tried to do the opposite of what God wanted him to do, and he boarded the ship to run away from God. So what did God do? He brought a violent storm to the ship. Job was thrown overboard and Jonah was swallowed by a giant fish. And all this was done for one reason, and that was to redirect the path of Jonah. There's a storm to check your faith. You might be on the right path. You're doing everything right. You're walking the good walk, talking the good talk, doing everything right. And all of a sudden, something just happens in your life. It's so unexpected. Now, this type of storm comes to check your faith, because the storm comes to find out what you're going to do when that storm occurs. Are you going to sit and go, why me, God? You know, why is this happening to me? Why me? Why me? Or you get on your knees and say, God, please come and save me. Help me. Get me through this storm. An example of this in our Bible is Job. I'm sorry I confused Jonah and Job, but Job, he had everything. Job was a good man. He was a good man. But God, he faced a storm when he lost everything. as a test to see how strong his faith was. And I mean, he lost it all. Read that story sometime. This man went through heck. But he stayed strong and he believed. But in the end, God was so pleased with his faith that he restored his health and his riches tenfold to what they had been before. The third one is the storm that gets you out of your situation. Imagine you're being in a situation whereby you literally got no way out. You just don't. There's no way you can get out of it. You're just stuck. You know you could get out of it, but you know maybe it's people are in your way, or objects are in your way, or money is in your way, or whatever, and you're just like, I can't get out of this, God. That's when God steps in with a storm that just breaks up everything. Just breaks up everything so much, more or less, you got to start from scratch. But that's okay. That's okay. Because it's another storm that you can survive. The example of this that I found, a good one, was Paul in Acts 27. Paul and the other prisoners were in bondage, and they were being transported to a city. But the Lord allowed a storm to hit the boat, and everyone on board, including the centurion who was in charge, feared for their lives. But Paul, through the instructions of an angel of God, told them that they would all survive if they listened to Paul. So the centurion who was in charge started taking orders from Paul, who was a prisoner. And when they reached Malta alive and in one piece, that centurion knew he owed his life to Paul and Paul's God, and he kept his word that he had made, and he released the prisoners when they got to shore. So here was a situation where there was no way to get out of it, and all of a sudden this storm came. Boom. They're all free. I'd like to tell you now about a couple of storms in my life that are fairly recent and how I handled or did not handle them properly. Last fall, we had at our house, I think, one of the biggest storms we've ever had. In the course of 2 to 3 weeks, we went from, you know, just going through life, doing everything right, to rushing Tina to the emergency room. Where they came out and told me we have to do an exploratory surgery on your wife. We found something on this ultrasound. And they open her up and say, well, we can't do anything because she's got a tumor inside her that's the size of a football and it's wrapped around her organs. And so it's going to be a couple weeks and we're going to have to bring in a specialist. So we weren't sure what it would take to remove it. Because of being wrapped around all her organs. We didn't know if it was cancerous. We didn't know if she had precancerous cells. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. As her husband, I was terrified and worried. Because I can't fathom going through life without her. Okay? But from the moment we took her to ER, I prayed. I prayed and 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 I prayed. I prayed so much my knuckles were sore and my knees were sore. But I was so calm and at peace and filled with belief that God was going to get us to the other side of that lake and through the storm. I did. There was no doubt in my mind. And, you know, here we are. And I think I handled that storm pretty well. A little over 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, we had a major storm at our house. It's a real storm. It's hail, almost the size of about a half of my palm. Did thousands of dollars of damage on Tina's car. Took out our roof. Messed up our siding. Insurance company comes back and says, oh yeah, we're going to pay for it, but only X%. So, you know, we're out thousands of dollars. And at the same time, my mother was having problems at her home, little repairs. My mother is 89 but refuses to live with anybody. I'm not doing it. So I'm over there, and the small repair I went to do ended up being 22 days of commuting to my mother's 70 miles round trip. Some of you guys don't know, or some of you don't know, is I have a pain pump right here and a neurostimulator in the back because I have really bad back problems. And the worst thing for me to do is to drive. That's why I don't work a lot. I only work a couple days at the church. So I sit on a cushion. I do a lot of things. So, you know, I was dealing with that pain and the insurance, and I was having health issues, and I wasn't sleeping, and, you know, going back and forth and this and that, and I electrocuted myself for a second time, and to top it all off, I'm going through the kitchen, I get my drop foot going, and I slam my face into our marble countertop and chipped a front tooth. So all this is happening at the same time, and I'm not thinking about it. I'm living my life, right? But what I didn't realize is all these little things were like little weather fronts inside me, right? There's a little rain coming over here, and there's snow coming up here, and there's hail coming up from the bottom, and it's just swirling around inside of me, and I wasn't realizing it, you know? Because there were so many little things that maybe wouldn't bother me. And I don't know if you've ever felt like this, where you're just, your insides, if they could speak, if your insides had a voice, they'd be going, ah! And that's how I felt. And I remember walking into Pastor Reed's office and saying to him, Reed, I feel like I have a storm inside me. And I know it doesn't show on the outside, Reed, but my insides are just like this, and I need to find calm in this storm. And we prayed, and I knew right then I was going to preach this sermon. Right then. God said, that's your sermon. See, all this wonderful scripture that I know, and I believe, and I know it works, but during that second storm, I believe the problem was, for me, when Tina was having medical issues, and it was about her, I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. But when the little stuff was about me, I was like, I got this, I got this, I got this. Well, guess what? I don't got this. And it's another one of those, hey, why don't you practice what you preach? And I'm guilty of it. I am human. So during my storms, I didn't lose my faith. I did not have a crisis of faith. My problem was I wasn't practicing my faith. Instead of praying to God, I was just trying to, you know, take everything as it comes and deal with it. Da, da, da. I want to share some scripture with you. It talks about this finding calm in the storm. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it goes, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. John 14:27, many people know, they might not know the number, but they've heard this. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Isaiah, again, 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes, there's verses 3, 1 through 8. Everybody knows them. But in my mind, I almost hear a warning about possible storms in our life. They go along with the beautiful things. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. time to love and a time to hate, time for war and a time for peace. And I want to add my own, a time for peaceful skies and a time for storms. The Bible tells us, don't be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's Isaiah again, or Joshua 1:9. God gives us strength when we're dealing with the storms of life. When it comes to dealing with the circumstances, we all have to understand there are things that are out of our control. And we got to focus on not trying to change things. Just kind of ride those waves. Psalm 57:12, I love. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I'll take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. God has taught and continues to teach us many things about storms. He teaches us how to live out with his strength if we follow him in spirit. Through faith, we find identity in Christ. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our shelter and strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. None of the storms you go through in life will be enjoyable. There's not. Unless you dig that stuff, which I doubt. They can cause pain. Yet even our regrets, God comforts us with his faithfulness. Whatever storms you're in, you can make it when you trust in God. I've proven it to myself. And a great way to combat those storms is to pray. The great thing about prayer is that it can help us channel a hope that we didn't have and know that we could access. I believe that we pray for hope because without hope there's only despair. I've found that in my own life. Also, a little scripture memory can help us remember God's promises. The disciples forgot what Jesus had spoken to them. He told them they were going to cross the sea to the other side, but in the middle of the storm, they forgot. I've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt. So we don't want to forget the words that God speaks to us. We want to kind of hold them in our heart. So what you want to do if you do that is find passages that speak to you. Not stuff you hear everybody say, you know, John 3:16. There's things in the Bible, I guarantee you, that you read, little lines. Like, for me, it's like, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I love that one. So there's little pieces of scripture you might pick up that speak to you to get you through hard times. Spending time with God in his word should be a daily occurrence, and I realize that. His word gives us strength and wisdom for every day. And just like a relationship you have with another person, you need to put time and effort if you want to have a relationship with God. Having a conversation with God helps build that relationship. It helps you in prayer, being still, and reading the Bible. And prayer is a time for us all to talk to God and bring our requests and thanksgiving before him. When I pray to God, a lot of times it's just a conversation. Hey, God, it's me. How you doing? I'm not doing so well, so I appreciate your help. It is so easy to get complacent. It really is. Believe me, I know. And when I am, I allow storms to creep into my life, storms that scare me, and storms that make me afraid. Or as my father would say, bite me in my fanny. That's what happens. I want to end with this. Look how early it is. I want to end with this. Affirmations are statements that are meant to affect our behavior in the course of our life in a positive way. The goal of repeating affirmations is to change our way of thinking from negative to positive, or to change our habits, create a better life. I personally use them sometimes just as a prayer at home, and I'd like to do it now for my ending prayer because I think this affirmation sums up everything I've said. If you can't remember this prayer, I want you to remember a number. It's 887. It's one of our affirmations of faith. And this is going to be our final prayer today, so bow your heads. You ready? Dear Lord, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. We are sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.